You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello, Badger fans, and welcome to another edition of Bucky's Fifth Podcast. As always, Tyler Hunt and Matt Bells here covering everything Wisconsin athletics. On today's show, we've got quite a bit of news on the football side. We're going to talk some recruiting, kind of got a whole smorgasbord of stuff in terms of awards. We've got some walk-on commits. We've got some other coaching changing, recruiting stuff that we're going to touch on to start the episode, because there's a lot that's happened between now and our last episode, so we'll hit on all things that. After that, we'll get into our Georgia Tech Wisconsin basketball recap, a huge win for the Badgers on the road. Hostile environment, a great back-and-forth game that saw the Badgers come away victorious once again. So a huge start to the season for this Wisconsin Hoops squad. We'll talk about everything that we took away from that. And then to round out the show in the very last few minutes, wasn't a super long interview, but we have Aiden Vaughn, the most recent Wisconsin football commit outside of these walk-ons that we'll talk about in just a minute. He hopped on and talked about his future with playing with Wisconsin football. Should be an interesting commit from the Badgers that they picked up just a couple weeks ago. All right, Matt, how are you this morning?
I'm doing great. It was nice to see the Badgers get another W and kind of show what they can do in their first road contest of the day. But I am a little tired this morning after it, because it's hard to fall asleep right after being on your computer and typing everything up.
I was going to say, it was a late tip, and then you with the recap stuff, I figured it was a late night. For sure, but I know the listeners will appreciate the early morning grind of our podcast. All right, so why don't we go ahead and start? We'll talk basketball a little later. We'll start with the football news, because there's a good amount of news. We'll start with Ferguson and Josh Seltzner being named All Big Ten. I guess not super surprising. Good, both really good players that had good years. Maybe slightly surprising that there were some really good offensive linemen and really good tight ends in the conference, but. What did you make of those two picking up those honors?
Yeah, on the offense, I think that's a tremendous recognition for both of them by the coaches. They were both picked first team by the coaches, second team by the media. I think that speaks to the respect that they have from coaches across the conference. Ferguson's a guy that most teams had to game plan. He was probably the top receiving threat that the Badgers had all season long. And Seltzner, he had really good numbers and was really talented at run blocking. Like, that is his bread and butter. He really can get downhill and plays physical. So I think both are very deserving of the honor. I was a little surprised that Seltzner didn't maybe get second team across the board, but I also think it speaks to that the offensive line play across the Big Ten wasn't necessarily, like, amazing either. So, good on both of them to take home those awards.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think you come into the season, you expect Jake Ferguson to be in the running for an award like that. But Josh Seltzer was a guy that, early on in the season, in the offseason, we talked about would maybe be a guy that was a rotation guy, maybe a guy that would possibly get beat out for his spot. Just based on what we had seen from him previously in his career. So for him to come in and put together a year like he had this year and pick up, even if it was second team, that's a huge accomplishment from where a lot of people projected him to be early on in the season. So he really stepped up and put together a solid year that, helped pave the way for Braylon Allen, who was, of course, a phenomenal back. And he deserves a lot of recognition, regardless of the first or second team. It's a nice award to see a guy like that, a guy that's worked really hard, played a lot of football, had some ups and downs, and really caps off the season on a high note.
Yeah, especially as a former walk-on to from inside the state to then parlay that into being a first-team coach's pick in the conference is, you know, that's an awesome career right there.
All right, our next piece of news. We didn't talk about this in our last episode, but Leo Schnall was announced as Big Ten Linebacker of the Year. This one, not a surprise to me. I mean, he was just an absolute freak all season long, just dominated pretty much every contest. And this is a guy that, you know, didn't play in that Penn State opener and, of course, that Eastern Michigan game. So a tough start for him to the season, but came back in a big way. Really, you know, I guess not, Wisconsin people, Wisconsin folks around the program that have paid attention and watched this team kind of expected this to come. You expected a jump from him, but he, I think, far exceeded a lot of expectations. So what did you make of that tremendous honor for Schnall?
Yeah, he's very deserving. I mean, he was one of the top players in the entire conference all year long when he was on the field, and he was a force. You saw just the tackle numbers that he was putting up all year long. He was constantly involved in everything. Getting over 100 tackles in only 10 games is really impressive. You add that in with 17 tackles for loss and 7 sacks and a couple forced fumbles, and he's just a tremendous player. And then not to be outdone, you look at his running mate there at inside linebacker, Jack Sanborn, also getting first-team honors. Very deserving, but that's pretty cool to have your two starting inside linebackers be first-team all-conference selections. I mean, granted, the entire defense got some sort of award. Every single player managed to either be second-team like Keanu Benton, third-team like Matt Henningsen and Caesar Williams, or honorable mention, which is pretty wild. It tells you quite a bit about how talented this defense was and the numbers that they put up and the recognition that they deserved. I was a little surprised, though, that Herbig didn't maybe get third-team honors. But at the same time, there is a lot of really good edge players in this conference. And as a young player, I think he's the guy who's going to probably take a leap, similar to what maybe we saw from Leo Schnall. Maybe not, hey, he's going to become the top player in the defensive player in the conference or best linebacker in the conference, but I do think that he's got a chance to be really special.
Yeah, he certainly was special all season long. This entire defense was, and I'm glad you mentioned that Nick Herbig piece because I was kind of surprised by that as well. But overall, this group was tremendously solid and deserves a lot of that recognition. To see every player on the defense get something is just shows the respect that the Big Ten Conference and coaches across this conference and the media had for this Wisconsin defense. It's been a really fun group to watch, and we'll get to see them together one last time in the bowl game. But I think we'll look back years down the road and rant and rave about how good this defense was, you know, throughout the entire course of the season. So kudos to all those guys for a tremendous accomplishment. All right, up next, we'll go ahead. Why don't we talk about the walk-on commits next? We'll start with Drew Evans out of Fort Atkinson. Lineman Luna Larson is a linebacker. We'll combo both of them. I guess we can talk. We don't need to spend too much time on each individual. But two huge in-state Big Ten or big walk-on pickups for the Badgers here. They've got Luna Larson, who came out of Baraboo, and Drew Evans, lineman out of Fort Atkinson. Neither player, in terms of recruiting rankings, jumps out to you in any way. They don't have a 2-4 composite rating, but both guys are in-state walk-ons that Wisconsin's done so well with in the past. Always need in-state linemen, linebackers they can always do something with if Luna Larson ends up being in that position. So what did you make of picking up those two as walk-on commits?
I think the biggest thing with both of them is versatility. Drew Evans, really smart kid coming in out of Fort Atkinson, 6'4", 260. And I think he's probably going to be an interior offensive lineman is where he's going to start. But he does have the ability to possibly play some defensive line as well if you need him as a practice body. But I think he is the type of offensive lineman that you want to round out with your walk-on program. So I'm excited for him. But I think the big commitment out of the two is definitely Luna Larson. He's rated as a 3-star kid by 247 standalone. And really, he's an intriguing player based off of everything he has on film and what he brings to the table. He was a kid we talked about and that was going to camp as a guy who could pick up an offer. Like, he was an offer-level prospect for the Badgers throughout the summer as a guy that they were looking at hard when he came to camp. And you look at it, he really reminds me on film and kind of body size of Alec Ingold, former Wisconsin fullback who's now in the league. 6'2", 210, same size as Ingold coming out of high school, plays quarterback, does everything for his team. He doesn't throw a ton, but he's more of a runner for Baraboo. But he was a first-team all-conference, all-Badger conference quarterback and linebacker. He really attacks the line of scrimmage when he's playing linebacker, runs physically, he's fast. So I think you look at him and the ability to possibly put him at linebacker or fullback when you look at the fact that, hey, John Chanel might be gone after this year. You don't know where some of the guys are going to be at health-wise, because I know that they went ahead and moved Cam Large there for a while, but he's more of a blocker. Maybe Larson will give you more of that runner. So I think that you really like him. He's not your traditional walk-on because he had offers, you know, FBS offers from Air Force, Buffalo, Central Michigan, Eastern Michigan. Like, he was coveted by other teams, and you never know. If he was a kid that if he maybe waited his recruitment out, he could have gotten a late offer from the Power 5 level from some team trying to take a chance on him, or a gray shirt offer. But he's the type of kid that you look at as a walk-on who's similar to John Torchio, where you come in with other scholarship offers and you just wouldn't be surprised if he ends up on scholarship in the first couple of years on campus if he is able to kind of put it all together, because he is a very talented player and I think fans should be really excited about him. He's essentially a scholarship-level player that you're getting as a walk-on.
Yeah, yeah, it's essentially a great deal for Wisconsin because you've got, you know, you don't tie up that scholarship very well. Like you said, early in his career, he could certainly earn that and get to that spot, but you're also going to get a guy that, you know, was the guy on your board that you had circled as possibly a scholarship guy in that walk-on spot. He's going to come in likely hungry to try and earn that, and as you mentioned, he's a player that could have went and played, you know, high-level football. The MAC is nothing to scoff about if you went to, you know, a school like Buffalo and Central Michigan where he had offers from. So it's certainly a really good get. You know, these in-state kids, you know, that are starting on those walk-ons, you know, come in hungry, and hopefully if they can put it together, can get on scholarship. You also, you know, you just see Wisconsin, you know, you find these guys and these type of players that blossom into much more. Not all of them are going to work out like that, but, you know, if you hit on just a couple of these and they end up being good players, they don't have to necessarily even be, you know, greats, you know, all conference guys, but guys that can give you something, you know, at some point in their career, that can be huge for the depth of a program. And these two guys, I mean, I know Drew Evans in terms of recruitment isn't, you know, as big of a name, you know, in terms of offers that way, but these are guys that really help you fill out the entirety of a class. And you've got big names in class, you've got your scholarship guys, your higher rated star guys, but these are the guys that can, you know, really complement, you know, an entirety of a class. So I think both of these pickups were huge for the Badgers. I'm excited to see what, you know, both of these guys in terms of their career ends up being.
Absolutely. I think that's the biggest thing, and I think Wisconsin fans should be really excited about them both. Specifically Larson, though, I think just what he can bring, he's a guy that at the very least should help them out in special teams because of his athletic ability and his ability to play on both sides of the ball. You want that when it comes to special teams, because he is a guy that has a really high ceiling because he hasn't kind of focused in on one position. So I think that's a really good get for the Badgers.
All right. Up next, why don't we go ahead, you know, I know we – you know, teased it a little bit in the first episode of this week. We were talking about some coaching staff changes. We're going to save that, guys, for an episode next week. We felt like with all this news and the basketball talk in the back half, as well as the interview, and that maybe being a longer topic, that we'll have that as our own episode. So I did want to preface before we get into other stuff that will likely be a later episode, because it's probably a topic that we could spend 45 to 50 minutes talking about, because I think there are some certainly some things that will be part of that discussion. So up next, we'll talk some recruiting updates. Of course, with Wisconsin not getting ready for Big Ten Championship, it's been a busy week for the staff getting out on the road. It seems like Paul Christ has kind of just been everywhere, bouncing around, visiting some recruits. He was with, of course, four-star offensive lineman Joe Brunner, who's a, you know, still a huge guy on the Badgers board. He made it down to see Vinny Anthony in Louisville. So a whole host of guys that he was out and the rest of the staff was out putting on their best recruiting hat. I mean, this is crunch time. Of course, you want to be playing for the Big Ten Championship this week, but if you're not, now's the time to go out and really make some headway on some of these recruits that you're trying to tie up. So what have you taken away from this past week in terms of the recruiting front and the Badgers really being active and getting out there to try and, you know, finish off what could be a really good class?
Yeah, one advantage, I guess you could say, for not being in the Big Ten Championship is it allows you to get out on and get into players' homes a little bit earlier than maybe teams that are in that playoff picture or in the conference championship games. But I think the big thing is to watch are a couple players who are uncommitted here. You know, we've seen the Badgers going out and talking with some committed prospects, but the uncommitted guys as well of Carson Hinsman, kind of down to Wisconsin, Ohio State for all accounts, and then Billy Schroff. Both of them are supposed to make a decision before the early signing day, which really next couple weeks here is kind of crunch time before kids can sign on. And Schroff is really down to Notre Dame and the Badgers. We'll see if the Notre Dame coaching change here, going with Marcus Freeman, keeping Tommy Reese, that probably doesn't hurt the Irish's chance as much as it might have if Reese, for example, left. But I still think Wisconsin's in a good place for both those players, but now it's about closing. I'm guessing the Badgers will be out to visit them here soon just because they're the top of the board guys. And then the other kid to watch is Jaden Ott. We talked a lot about him, took an official visit for the Army game, which seems like a while ago now, but he took an official visit for there. He also took an official visit to USC, and those teams seem like the top two. Colorado's also involved as a team he took an official visit to. But if the Badgers can lock him down, they need a running back for this class. It would really help based off of the fact that you lost half of your room in the season. I think he's the guy that, based off of Lincoln Riley coming into USC, it probably helps them because he's probably going for a little higher-rated guys. Ott's a four-star kid, so he's very – very talented player, but at the same time, you look at the Oklahoma decommitment list here, and a lot of them are from Southern California, and a lot of them probably grew up watching USC, wanting to play for USC, and Lincoln Riley's already got that established connection. I would think that there's a couple 4- and 5-star guys that that he could maybe pluck away, which makes it so that Ott's further down their board. So hopefully Wisconsin can get out to see him and close that one down as well, because I think that would be a really big get for the Badgers on the early signing day. And then the other one is Isaac Ham. I doubt he signs early on here in the early signing day. He's going to be one to the 11th hour. We'll just see if he does sign somewhere or if he goes JUCO or one other way, just based off of the way his recruitment is going. But I think the Badgers right now are in a good spot, but now it's about kind of closing down things and getting there. And I know that there's some transfer portal stuff here as well that we can touch on next, but lots going on in recruiting, which makes sense as we get closer to the early signing day.
Yeah, it's coming up fast. So it's nice to see Wisconsin making some inroads on some of these key players that they've had. You know, we've talked about a lot of these guys multiple times on the podcast as guys that Wisconsin was very much in on and wanting to pick up to finalize the last bit of this class. And it's not like it's just, three. Some of these guys are really big players, 4 stars. Jay Dodd is a huge guy. I think that just speaks to the ripple effect of this coaching carousel, which has just been absolutely insane. I mean, when's the last time you've seen this many premier programs open? And these big changes, the changes at Notre Dame will certainly cause a ripple effect on Wisconsin in a good way, likely, or, with some of the stability that they might find there, maybe it changes some things around. Lincoln Riley, going all of these moves and all of these, changes and coaching staff changes, and with this new transfer portal, it makes a big difference in recruiting. It's not a new game. I mean, everyone is watch recruiting for the last few years and coaches have taken jobs, but it just feels so much different this year with all the changes and now the transfer portal guys being able to move on and change courses a lot easier. So it's going to be a fascinating few months here to watch some of these things. I mean, We had a really entertaining college football season, but if you like headlines and news in terms of recruiting and coaching changes, these next couple weeks will still be incredibly exciting because there's been a lot of drama and a lot of things going on. But for Wisconsin, I think the stability of, you know, Paul Chryst and company, there'll certainly likely be some changes to the coaching staff, but I think, you've got a stable figurehead at the top. You feel good about Wisconsin competing for some of these guys, and hopefully they can close the deal here as early signing day approaches rather quickly.
Yeah, and kind of pivoting to that transfer portal, there's going to be a lot of movement. Like, there's just going to be over the next couple weeks, whether it be on the Badgers' end, we already saw Isaiah Green-May enter, or players possibly that the Badgers are interested in. For those of you who want Spencer, I know, like, a lot of fans have, like, pounded the table for Spencer Rattler. Like, that ain't happening, and I personally don't want it to happen. I think he's a prima donna. But when you look at some of the other portal guys that are recently in there, you see 2024 star quarterback Parker McCorry. He's a kid out of New Hampshire that ended up at UCLA and went ahead and entered. The Badgers were really in on him. He was their top of their quarterback board for that entire class for the most part until he ended up at UCLA. Maybe they get involved there. We talked about the fact that they didn't take a 2020 quarterback. I've been pretty harsh on the staff about that because you take a damn quarterback every class. But maybe that's a way for them to kind of backfill that spot and try to round out their depth chart a little bit and give some competition for Graham Mertz or at least the very least competition behind him for that backup role, because the fact that they were really reluctant to go to Chase Wolf kind of tells you that they don't feel overly confident in his abilities right now. And then Diamante Treanum, another running back, he ended up at Arizona State, took an official visit with the Badgers. He's out of Ohio. Archbishop Hoban, same high school as Daryl Peterson and Quan Easterling, who ended up going into the transfer portal himself, surprisingly. But he's a guy that's also from the 2020 class. He could refill that position that was left after Jalen Berger was dismissed. If they're trying to add something, say they missed out on a guy like Ott, maybe they go to the transfer portal, get a younger guy. He's already almost 700 yards and 10 touchdowns in two seasons with Arizona State. So I don't know if that's necessarily a need, but it's still a player that if he's like, hey, I want to come closer to home and hits the Badgers up, I think you take him, right? Like, you want your best players you can, especially not knowing the availability of Chesma Lucy right away next year. So those would be two guys to kind of watch right now, specifically McCorry, because I would imagine that the Badgers are going to want to add to that quarterback room. I know that there was a report earlier by Clint Brewster where he misspelled Camp Randall and said that the Badgers would be interested in the quarterback carousel. So we'll see if maybe McCorry's the type of guy that they can get involved with, because he's a talented kid, and he's 6'7", so he's one of those tall-ass quarterbacks out there.
Yeah, it's certainly these transfer portal names are always – I think fun for fans to speculate and see. We'll see where they end up. You know, there's certainly going to be additions for everybody across the country. Like you mentioned, it's going to be, you know, a wild time for some of these transfers. Wisconsin's already had some departures. There's possibly, you know, there's very possibly going to be more. There more likely will be more. Wisconsin will probably, you know, teams are going to have ebbs and flows with bringing players in and losing players out. So I think it's going to be a fun storyline to watch as the Badgers move forward here with that. But those are certainly two names to keep an eye on at some premier positions for Wisconsin. You know, there's always intrigue when you're talking quarterback carousel and guys that could end up at your school. Running back for Wisconsin, always a huge position as well. And as you're looking for some depth of that spot, that's a important couple names to keep an eye on. All right, are you ready to get into some basketball talk with Georgia Tech?
Let's do it.
All right. Before we do that, though, guys, I got to talk to you about Home Field Apparel. If you didn't pick up a Home Field Apparel parcel this past week for Black Friday and Cyber Monday, I'm sorry to hear that, because they were running a 20% code off, but they've still got some great merch over there at homefieldapparel.com. You can get 10% off your first order. Just go over there and sign up with your email. If you're still looking to you know, get some gifts for the sports fan in your life or someone who just loves incredibly cozy gear, make sure to check them out. They've got some gift cards as well. I know I've seen on the Home Field site some stuff has sold out. So if you're still looking and not sure what to get, the person in your life that's looking or that you're wanting to get a gift, gift cards are a great option as well, and you can do that online on their website. It's very easy. So make sure to head over there, homefieldapparel.com, and give those guys a look. All right, we'll talk some Wisconsin basketball now. A huge win for the Badgers on the road, hostile environment, really a back-and-forth game between Michael DeVoe and Brad Davison, which was a lot of fun to watch. You know, both of those guys were just hitting shot after shot and really responding to each other. So a great game, a ton of fun. Like I said, hostile environment. They got a lot of good production out of a lot of guys. But this was probably, you know, just the storyline to start. This is the Brad Davison game. I think that we were waiting on. He has him. Some games he's non-existent in the score sheet, and some games he comes out and pours in damn near 30 and helps you pick up a huge ACC Big Ten Challenge win. So overall, what did you make of this you know, fun and back-and-forth contest with the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets?
I think it's a really good win. When you look at the complexion of their season, this is their first road test. This was the first time that they went into a hostile environment, and that was a good crowd. They were very involved. It was a very fun back-and-forth game. You know, as hard it is as it is sometimes to watch a guy like Michael DeVoe, just who is a very talented player who's going to have chances to play in the NBA, really good scorer, you know, dropped 33. The way that the Badgers were able to overcome that and play great defense down in the end, the final 5 minutes, they really clamped down and kind of ran away with it at the very end there, holding them to one of their last nine shooting. It's impressive. It's hard not to be. And that run that Brad Davison went on, you mentioned it. He always has games like this where each year he'll have a few games where he'll drop 20 to 30 points out of nowhere and really lead the team. Shot 5 of 9 from three. I was really impressed by that stretch he went on, 4 straight buckets with Johnny Davis on the bench catching a breather. I remember looking at the who was on the court with him at that point. It was like Lauren Bowman, him, and then they had I want to say it was Wall and Carlson, Vogt, and I was like, where's the offense going to come from? And then all of a sudden Davison was like, I'm going to put everything on my team. That Greg Jennings, you know, taking his player to the end zone video game thing really comes to mind, because he just carried them all the way there, playing 37 minutes in the game. So him and Johnny Davis were the story, but Wisconsin still plenty of things to clean up, but for them to go on the road in a tough environment and get a W over a really talented team, I think it is something to be excited about.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think these are the games when you're talking about Brad Davison that, you know, when he decided to come back, these were the games that you were looking for, a guy like him and could rely on, go through him, play through him. Jonathan Davis, now, I'm not going to take any credit away from him. He had a great game. You know, most nights he's going to be the storyline with the way he plays and the amount he scores, but, you know, not really a quiet 15. He was knocking down some jumpers and had that nice steal. But Brad Davison was certainly the storyline, and he was a guy that without them, you know, without that senior leadership on the road, that could be a game they very well lose. But he came out and, like you mentioned, put the team on his back and really put together a strong performance. So I was really excited to see this team, you know, respond to that adversity on the road. I think a lot of guys, you know, played, you know, the next thing we'll talk about, we'll talk about Jonathan Davison. I want to talk about the rotation at some point, because I think that was interesting, the amount of minutes some of those guys played. But overall, it was a great win, a great performance from Davison. And like you mentioned, certainly things to clean up. But at this point in the season for this team, to have won all these games and not, you know, and far exceed the early expectations has been huge. So they've got another big one with Marquette coming up. But right now, all things are pointing in the right direction for Wisconsin basketball.
For sure. A couple other players, you know, you mentioned Jonathan Davis. I thought he had a phenomenal game, kind of beyond the stat sheet, mm-hmm. like beyond the scoring column. He had 15 points and shot the ball well, but 6 rebounds, 5 assists. He really kind of distributed the ball well and slashed, was able to kind of hit other players to get them involved. Got to cut down on some turnovers, but I did like his aggressiveness at times, which I think he needs to continue to do. But the player that really jumped out to me, who I think had a, you know, kind of an under the radar really good game, was Chris Vogt, you know, the reserve center. 6 rebounds in 12 minutes. He had 4 fouls. Him and Crowell, they continue to get in foul trouble each game, which I think is something to be a little bit worried about, especially just based off of the lack of production from your bigs on the offensive end. But Vogt didn't have a single point. But he was also plus 15 when the Badgers were plus 15 when he was on the court, their best number out of everybody other than Davison, also at 10, nobody else in double figures. So you're looking at a guy who really did give them something when he was out there, and you know pair that with Crowell, who was minus 11, and it kind of tells you that, hey, they got some stuff to work on in that rotation. Ben Carlson, absolutely non-existent, played 1 minute. The Badgers gave up a 6 points in that 1 minute, and he didn't play again. So after he had a good end to the Maui Invitational, to come back and struggle the way he did was kind of eye opening. And obviously he was in the doghouse based off of that little stretch. But this is a big win. The Badgers defense was really, really impressive. They held Georgia Tech to 0 of 6 from 3 after they shot 60% in the first half from deep. So they've got to clean up some free throw stuff, specifically when the game mattered at the end. But the Badgers, for them to go on the road and get a win like this, it speaks volumes to the job that Greg Gard's been doing, but also the kind of way in which this team has bought in and played together and just bought into the defensive end and used that to help them off on the offense. The front court's got to score a little bit more and help them out a little bit, but the backcourt is really kind of holding them above water right now because they are playing good.
Yeah, most definitely. They've played really well. A lot of guys have put together good performances throughout. I mean, you had the Wall game, you've had the Jonathan Davis game, you've had the Brad Davison game now, and then the rest of these guys are doing enough in the role player aspects to help this team win a lot of games. So it's been a lot of fun to watch. The one thing I want to talk about in terms of the rotation, you mentioned earlier Brad Davison played 37 minutes. Davis played 37 as well. All the other starters outside of Crowell played 33. So the bench, they did go 10 deep, but like you mentioned, Ben Carlson was for 1 minute. Carter Gilmore was 5 minutes. Lauren Bowman was just 8 minutes, and Jacoby Neath 6. And then Chris Vogt was the only other guy in double digits. So what did you make of that? Is it just a tight back and forth game? You want your best guys out there, or is Greg Gard, you think, maybe tightening that rotation a little bit and kind of settled on the guys that he wants to get big minutes? Because you look at Georgia Tech, DeVoe played all 40 minutes, but everybody else was rotating in. So certainly an interesting aspect from the Badgers on the road in terms of who's getting the minutes and how many.
I do think that Gard is kind of tightening things up. I think Neath is a guy that he might have seen a little bit more as he's coming back from that injury. Maybe he gets more involved. I thought Lauren Bowman did some nice things while he was out there as well. He continues to stroke the ball well from three.
Yeah, deep three.
Yeah, like he's got a good shot. It's a set shot for sure, and it's kind of a low release, but at the same time, it goes in, and it's quick. Like, he gets it off pretty quick. For being that kind of the way that it's set up. But I think that, yeah, you're right, that this rotation isn't really robust right now. We'll see kind of if it grows. I would imagine that if a guy like Johnny Davis or Hepburn or Wall gets in foul trouble, you'll see a little bit more of some of the other guys. But I think the biggest thing is you got to start getting some production off the bench. You look at the scoring output from the bench, 7 points. From your bench, and that's not going to be enough when you get into some games and you have foul trouble, you have other things coming on. You need that spark to come off the bench every once in a while, and right now Lauren Bowman looks like about the only guy who can give you that. At times Vogt can definitely give you a spark, but it's more of a guy who's just going to do some of the dirty work. I really thought that maybe Carlson would be the guy to help them out as a sixth man this year, but he kind of just can't find his consistency.
And hopefully he can. Maybe Neath is the guy. But right now, yeah, the starting five was really leaned on, and they played a ton of minutes. I think you're going to see more and more of that. I wouldn't be surprised if it's that way against Marquette, because I don't think against some of the athletes that Marquette, you're going to see a guy like Carter Gilmore see extended minutes, or instead maybe Neath gets a few more minutes as he's starting to get into health, or Bowman. But that's definitely a good thing, a good notice by you, because I do think that that's something that could change the way that this season plays out, especially as it gets into Big Ten play.
Yeah, I mean, certainly, you know, you got guys that you want to rely on, you know, but you also have to get some sort of – it's a long basketball season. The guys are certainly going to get wore down when they're playing a lot of minutes, but right now you want to get wins, and if you feel comfortable with those guys giving you those type of minutes to get you a victory, I think at the end of the day, the players will be happy to be out there. But that'll just be something to watch as you continue to move through this non-conference and this early slate of the couple Big Ten games and then back into non-conference. Still a lot of tough games, including the Saturday tip with Marquette coming up. To kind of transition into Marquette a little bit, what are you hoping that Wisconsin can look to improve on ahead of that huge in-state battle?
I think the biggest thing is continuing to be good on the defensive end. I'm excited to see the new uniforms, but I think Wisconsin has done a really good job of making sure that they're using their defense to help them set up in the offense. But I think the big thing for me is what you alluded to is, can the bench help them out? You know, maybe Neath, Bowman, they can get some help out of that bench, and can the front court hold up and score, because those are areas that Wisconsin needs. It can't just be Tyler Wall, Brad Davison, and Johnny Davis scoring. It can't just be a three-headed monster. It can work against some parts of your schedule, but when you get into certain games where teams are going to take away a guy like Johnny Davis and just sell out for him, you need other people to step up. And hopefully a guy like Crowell can put together a nice game against Marquette. That's what I'll be watching, because this is a very different Marquette team than we've seen in the past, just based off of they completely overloaded their entire schedule. Their entire roster with Shaka Smart coming in. So I'm excited to see what they look like as well. I'm not a Marquette fan by any stretch, but it is. I'm interested in good basketball, and I want to see if Marquette actually has something this year.
Yeah, I think that'll be a very interesting storyline to watch. Obviously, always a huge game for both of these squads. Of course, I believe Marquette has won three of the last four, including last year. So it'd be nice to see the Badgers pick up another big win. It's been a fun start to the season, but I think an in-state rivalry win would certainly be a big one. All right, in terms of basketball, I think that's anything else you want to touch on. Otherwise, we'll go ahead and we can get into our interview with Aiden Vaughn.
No, that should do it. I think that it was a big win, and it was an exciting win. This, regardless of how the season finishes, this is a fun team to watch, and it's really been enjoyable. Just the way that they play hard and constantly go, and it has been a nice sight this year.
Absolutely, and with everything that they've had in the offseason, that's all you can really ask for is a team that comes out and fights and plays hard, and if they're winning games, it makes it even more fun. All right, guys, that wraps up our portion of the show. We'll go ahead. We'll get our other ad reads out of the way here, and then we'll get into our interview with Aiden Vaughn.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for the Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
All right, Badger fans, we are now joined by a very special guest in Aiden Vaughn, most recent Wisconsin football commit out of Walled Lake, Michigan. Plays linebacker at the high school position, but really you've kind of played all over the place. So we'll get into all that. But before we get into that, Aiden, thanks for joining us. How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing pretty well. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. Excited to talk to you. So we'll go ahead and start. We always like to start when we're talking to commits or recruits, just kind of overall the strengths of your game. So what do you feel are the strengths of your game on the football field?
A big strength I have is just knowing every position. You know, growing up, I played every position from running back to receiver to safety and then even lineman. So just having that versatile effect is really going to help me go into the field. And then knowing the game of football pretty well, too, I feel like those are going to help me a lot.
Absolutely, yeah. Your versatility on film really jumps out, as well as your speed. Do you have, like, an idea of what your 40 time is?
Around a 4.6 laser.
Okay, nice. Now, looking at things on the flip side from the strengths, what are some things that you hope to improve on before, you know, not a lot of time here before you get to Wisconsin, what are some things you want to improve upon here in the coming months?
I want to get my weight up just a little bit before I get there, just to put some size on, because I know the linemen can get pretty big, and just getting off blocks can be hard when they're not big enough. And then another thing, linebacker's pretty new to me, so I just want to understand how linebackers play better, just jumping gaps, reading the defense or reading the offense, and just understanding how the defense works is a big thing I want to focus on.
For those of you that maybe, for the both of the listeners that haven't maybe followed your recruitment as closely, of course, you were originally committed to Air Force and then now decommitted. And then we'll get into what kind of got you in terms of contact with Wisconsin. But before that, what kind of led to that decommitment and you opening up your recruitment back up? Because it certainly took off after you did.
Yep, just all the offers. It was kind of overwhelming at first, but me and my family just talked and we decided that it was the best decision for me to decommit and just let the Air Force staff know and reopen my recruiting 100%.
That makes sense. Kind of looking at how long had Wisconsin been recruiting you or in contact with you, because you had been committed to Air Force for quite some time.
This summer I went up for a personal workout and we've been in contact ever since. They've been talking to my coach a lot and then I've been talking to them as well.
So after that, we've kind of talked about it. Your recruitment from the decommitment and even probably before that really took off. So what was that like for you to all of a sudden see those flurry of offers just kind of come in such a fast pace and really start to shoot up in a lot of people's recruiting boards?
It was for sure really stressful, just everyone talking to me at once, all these schools giving me so much information. There's a lot to take in. I mean, it's definitely every kid's dream and just no complaints at all, but it was a lot to take in and just overwhelming a little bit.
Yeah, so you had already been to Wisconsin, like you mentioned. You came up for that personalized workout. But then you visit Wisconsin on November 12th for that official visit. What jumped out to you about that visit, and what did you enjoy about your time in Madison?
As soon as I got there, it felt like home. The architecture of the buildings, everything about it, the weather. And then once I got to meet the team and talk with all the coaches, it felt like a true family. Even people that weren't on the team, they treated everyone really good. Just I loved the atmosphere and the way people interacted there. It felt like a home.
Overall, what was kind of the messaging from Wisconsin's coaching staff to you? I mean, what did they kind of tell you and talk to you about in terms of your future at Wisconsin?
They told me they're looking at me for an inside backer, but I'm really versatile, so I could play inside or out. But inside right now is the goal, and then just learning the playbook as soon as I get there and just working my way up, trying to earn an opportunity to play right away.
Wisconsin has done a really good job in recent history with linebackers specifically, as guys who've played a bunch of different positions, maybe making transitions to that spot, and also guys who've played a lot of other sports in high school. Do you play any other sports in high school?
Yeah, I do track and field right now. Or not right now, but that's the other sport I'm doing.
Gotcha. And what events do you compete in for that?
I actually did sprints, and then I threw shot put and discus.
Okay, nice.
A little bit of everything. There you go.
Yep.
Are you planning on enrolling early? And if so, do you have a plan in terms of what you're studying in school?
Yeah, that's the goal. I just need to finalize all these credits I'm taking right now. And then once I get my grades, I'll be able to enroll early. And then I plan on going into business, majoring in business, and then maybe getting a minor in something like finances, kinesiology, or real estate.
Very cool. Last one here. Now that you're committed – are you kind of throwing that recruiting hat on to kind of help Wisconsin land your teammate?
I've definitely been talking to him a lot. It's just playing with him has been something we talk a lot about, and I'd love to. I'm definitely bringing up to him a lot, but I'm not putting too much pressure. You know, he's still a close friend of mine, and I want him to make the best decision for him, but definitely bring up Wisconsin quite a few times throughout the day.
I think it's a great answer for sure. Aiden, well, we really appreciate you taking time. I think you'll fit in great with Wisconsin just based on our conversation here. I think you'll be a great fit, and we're looking forward to seeing you on the field shortly.
Yep, can't wait. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. All right, Badger fans, that wraps up another episode of the podcast. As always, thank you for listening on Wisconsin. Da 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 da